Welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we discuss how to kick ass for life through the pursuit of ultimate wellness, peak performance, and maximum longevity. Kicking ass for life is not just about achieving health or fitness or long lifespans alone. It's about totally kicking ass at everything you do in life. In every episode, join me, author and human performance expert John Zombro, and my amazing co-hosts and guests. We'll dive into the science of exercise physiology, biomechanics, nutrition, physical therapy, lifestyle, and more to meld the concepts of optimal living and advanced training. You'll explore how to look, feel, and perform your best as you live your healthiest, happiest, most successful, and longest life. Let's kick ass for life. Hey, welcome everybody to the Lifetime Body Podcast. And this is episode number 37. This is an episode that's entitled Effortless Weight Loss, Putting Struggle with Body Composition in the Rearview Mirror. PK, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, John Boy. How are we?
Speaking for myself, I'm good. Very good, thank you. And based on the tone of your voice, it seems that you are same.
I'm great. I've got a hot cup of coffee and I'm ready to go. I know I always say this, but I am stoked to unwrap this topic today. And I think just maybe, you know, put more than a handful of pearls out there into the listeners' ears. And so before we dive in, you know, we've got effortless weight loss, putting the struggle of body comp in the rear view. How did you come up with this, and how are we going to put our spin on this topic?
Yeah, so I think that one of the challenges here for us, you know, the Lifetime Body Podcast, there's 550,000 podcasts out there, and the health and fitness category may be the largest one. And so we do, as you know, rock and roll health and fitness edutainment. And that's what we do. You know, we try to be ourselves. We try to be true to science, but we also have to, you know, keep things from becoming dry and boring. And when you start talking about weight loss programs, diet, exercise, nutrition, it better be exciting information or there's going to be some heads nodding or bobbing.
Eyes glazing over, heads nodding. You know, for as vital and important and, I don't know, desirable as it is, it's not a topic that really stimulates the zest inside.
Yeah, so we're about to put a spin on this topic. We're going to frame it somewhat uniquely because in talking about a problem-solving approach to the worldwide challenge of weight loss and being true to the theme of this show, we are going to sing our way into it. Okay, so I think that your silence says, get to singing, John Boy. So I shall do that. Bear with me.
Saw things clearer, I want you. We're in my rearview mirror. I gather speed from you effing with me.
And that is the intro.
John Boy, I... amazing. If I could clap, if I could hold up a lighter or my cell phone in a dark stadium with 20,000 other people, I would right now. Just in case the listeners couldn't connect the dots between your dulcet tones and the artist and track, who was that?
Well, as many people will recognize, that was Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam from 1993's Versus album, and we thank them for that inspiration. So really, if you listen to that song, if you haven't, you know, what rock have you been living under? Get out there. But it's a passionate song about oppression and ultimately about liberation. And we see a lot of similarities in the challenges of weight loss faced by so many.
Okay. And now let's set this up And the way I want to phrase this is, because I think that we're all kind of vaguely aware of this, but in your opinion, what are the things that we need to see more clearly?
Well, first of all, I think we all need to recognize we do have a pandemic, a major health problem with obesity and all its related issues. And it's really something that we are at crisis level with in the modern world, and we need to address that.
And so when you talk about obesity, let's just say, you know, what's your distinction about what that means? Like, you know, we're not talking about, you know, weekend warrior with 10 pounds of extra, you know, fat around the middle. I mean, you're talking about the bigger picture of, you know, a body comp of a certain percentage and lack of activity, right?
Yeah. And so without getting very specific on the numbers, sure, let's just say that, you know, percent body fat is getting above the ranges which are considered to be ideal or healthy. And the same would be true for, in most cases, for BMI or body mass index. And once the, you know, weight gets that high and the adipose tissue gets that high, we start to see just a crumbling in most cases of health and even longevity.
Right, right. And then so what else, what are the other main points that we need to really get a crystal clear view on?
Well, I think we all need to look clearly at the idea that weight loss really should be an improvement in body composition. And that really means we want to lose body fat, not necessarily just weight of unknown origin.
Right, right. And so why is that?
Well, because a lot of weight loss programs end up causing a loss of muscle mass and also impaired health. And so, you know, a person can lose weight, in air quotes, I'm holding my hands up at this time. And let's say they, you know, they clean up their diet a bit. And so therefore they probably lose some water weight, but they're in states of deprivation or starvation. They end up stripping some of their muscle protein for energy. And, you know, when all this is over, they might weigh less, but they've actually not lost that much fat and they've lost valuable muscle. Then, because of the state of deprivation, the body rebounds with a slowed metabolism and a very strong urge to gain back the weight plus more to prepare for, you know, what it perceives as the next famine.
Yes, interesting. That absolutely tracks with experiences that I've had where, you know, I did kind of have in my past, you know, distant past, where it was just kind of all of the buckets were drained, including the, you know, the good ones, you know, muscle and whatnot. So, what else do you have for us on this key point?
Yeah, I just sum it up this way, looking clearly, most of the programs out there are just pure BS and they don't work and they're not sustainable. And really, weight loss needs to be easy, approachable, and non-defaming of character, self-esteem, or anything else.
I mean, you couldn't be more on the nose there. Just, I think that if it involves any of the, you know, if those three categories are not in line, it's not sustainable. So let's zoom out even further. Like, when you look at this subject through the lens of passion, you know, all the like intensity around oppression, what do you think the cause of that is?
Yeah, I'd probably answer your question with the question and say, hey, where do you want to start? Because there's a lot of it. In fact, you know, when I'm out, you know, on the lecture circuit and I'm giving my talks, particularly about nutrition and weight loss and the history of that in America, I do kind of say, when you hear these messages and you hear the truth, if you don't get a little pissed off, well, hey, I don't know. I mean, I think we all should be very concerned about the lies that exist and be passionate, maybe even have a little bit of rage.
Yeah. I mean, I think that getting fired up and saying this ain't right, if it can be used to stimulate change, but it really needs to come with understanding the global picture. So put the different pieces together. How has this come about? Why is it a cycle that keeps on repeating? And maybe some things that even the audience that are tuned into this haven't seen all the different facets because you've studied it so closely.
Yeah, I think the first thing is fat shaming. It just needs to stop. And so a person who has, let's say, a higher level of body fat, is not a fat person. They're just a person who has a bit more stored energy. And there's really no way that anyone should attribute less than desirable things to someone's character. And I really feel that we still have that going on so much today. We just don't need it. And so, you know, let's help people to deal with that reality, not deny it, but also, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, anything that's perceived negatively.
Right. Well, that's a big challenge right there, don't you think? I mean, it, maybe even the, not putting these in any order, like the biggest, that is, that's a huge part of our and the global society.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, I think I'm just jacked up from this coffee and hanging out with Pearl Jam. But, you know, here's the deal. You know, I really appreciate every listener. And hey, out there, if you're listening, I love you. Thank you. But I think we have to all stop being passive consumers. We've got to share and we've got to get the message out. So if you can, you know, share this podcast and these messages, instead of maybe listening to it and benefiting yourself, you know, help others to please do. And I think we need to do that. Well, the next step in my mind is we really need to look at these nutrition guidelines. And, you know, there are some thought leaders, some well-meaning people out there trying to get them to be current with science, but they just are not. And so, so much of the information, the lies that we've been, force-fed, shall I say, that just needs to stop. And it's not helping the health and obesity issues that we currently face.
So, I mean, and I know what you're saying here is the nutrition guidelines. This would be on like the back of, you know, what the government recommends, what is on the back of food. But I think that that is a long road and there's some powerful and deep pockets opposing those changing. So are you suggesting that just the nutritional guidelines that that people as individuals and then groups come to accept as the truth just needs to change? It needs to change in people's minds, because globally, like before it can change on the back of a food label, where does this need to start, I guess? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some powerful things that come to my mind, so terms like brainwashing and addiction. And so because these pseudo nutritional guidelines have been present for so long, I mean, it depends on how far back you want to, you know, try to clarify, but certainly in the 70s and 80s when, you know, the McGovern Commission, you know, ultimately that led to the development of the food pyramid. You know, we won't dive too deep into that rabbit hole right now, but those things, we all were inundated with that information so strongly that we actually came to believe it to be true and didn't doubt it, unfortunately, despite the ever-growing obesity and health problems that that those guidelines were causing. And then when you look at addiction, you know, addiction's a powerful topic in and of itself, but most of the foods that were highly recommended. And so again, when you're talking about processed carbohydrates and vegetable oils, you know, not only are they pro-inflammatory, they're highly addictive. And so now we have a person who believes that Big Brother, you know, told them they can't be wrong. It had to be right, the information we got. And now we're actually addicted to the very garbage that's killing us. And that's a tough battle. And I fight that battle every day with folks. And I try to be, you know, as loving, as caring as I can be. But it's really hard to unbrainwash a person regarding addiction and get them on a healthy path. So I think we've got our work cut out for us, but that's really where we need to be clear and see things clearly.
Absolutely. Okay. So this next thought, there is an idea out there in terms of weight loss in particular that eat less, exercise more is the way to go. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's bull crap. It doesn't work. So, you know, we've thought that for the longest time that somehow, you know, if you're more noble and harder working and you, you know, reduce your food intake and cut calories and work out more, that's just the way to long-term sustained weight loss. And it's not. Now that may work in the short term, but in the long term, it won't, because we have, that leads to chronic inflammation, poor nutrition, metabolic slowdown, all those kinds of things. And so eat less, exercise more is a terrible prescription. And we saw that, you know, in the last presidency, the first lady had that, you know, campaign to move more. And really, I mean, that's true. We all need to move more. But what these school kids need is not to be fed garbage off a Cisco truck in the cafeteria every day.
Right. Right. Well, and that kind of, I think the next point, which I know you want to talk about, is what's happening in the media, what's happening with television and streaming shows in terms of, you know, all the programs out there celebrating these short-term, intense, really, you know, reality TV shows. Like, how do you see these two points working together in a negative way?
Yeah, actually, I'll probably surprise you and I won't say too much. But those TV shows, and again, also people still in the media, they glorify exhaustion. And so they're, you know, gosh, you know, if we can just be worthy of character and push harder, you know, we're going to be better people. And also, you know, we're going to lose more weight. Of course, we know from good science that, you know, that's not really effective in the long term at losing weight. You know, exhaustion states put the body in an emergent state of repair for the most part.
Yeah. And John, well, we won't linger here too much longer, but we have a couple more points that you think all the oppression comes from. What is the second to last, I guess, I don't know, component of this?
Well, you alluded to it. You said, you know, big pockets and agendas. I think that's what you said earlier. And yeah, follow the money. That's what people say. But you look at the bigs, big government, big agriculture, big pharma, big business, big food. You know, they all benefit. And this is terrible for me to say, but they benefit from all of us being sick, fat, and addicted. You know, buying and feeding on their crap that kills us sooner.
Yeah, I tell you, I literally just kind of going down these. The climate is one that it's depressing. It's a bummer, and I guess the final point that we're going to talk about when you look as just a person or a group to you know, our medical professionals, what are we getting from them?
Yeah, and I think I'm fairly scorn-filled in this one, and you know, calling some people out. And so when we look at medical education and the advice that's offered by medical professionals, it's lacking in most cases. And you know, when you look at physician training, you know, that literally you're talking about only several hours in an entire education on the topic of nutrition. And that's entirely inadequate to then be equipped to give people appropriate advice. And so basically, let's just read off the guidelines to people and say that that's what you should do. Hey, how about no way? And I think that last statement, we're talking about the bigs, you know, there's sure, so much inundation of those large industries into academia and research. And it's so biased in this area that, you know, we've got to become better consumers. And okay, not everyone has to take research methods classes and be, you know, a consumer at the highest level, but at the very least, try to be more objective and maybe not just immediately believe something if it comes from the Howard Chan School of Public Health at Harvard Medicine under the direction of Walter Willett, for example.
Right, right. Well, John, I'm actually interested to turn the corner because even just going through these seven different considerations, I'm bummed out. I think bummed out maybe is the appropriate, you know, maybe emotion to have when seeing this. I know that we're going to pause for a moment, but on the other side of this, this little break that we're going to do here, we're going to talk about how to actually put all this entire climate in the rear view.
Hey folks, thanks so much for listening today. This show and every episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Lifetime Body. At TLB, we offer a life-changing collection of services that include one-on-one health consultations, performance coaching and training packages, and inspiring workshops revolving around the five life-optimizing components of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness. Whether you're looking to tune up your health or body composition, train more effectively and get results in athletics, or bring wellness and productivity-enhancing workshops to your group or business, we've got you covered. Check out thelifetimebody.com, click on the services menu item, and start kicking ass for life today. Now back to the show. Yeah. And right now, I think, you know, you're going to say, well, okay, how do you put this stuff behind us, get it in the rearview mirror? And, you know, you're like, you know, once you were in my rearview mirror, you know, you want to have a little more fire in there. And so where all this leads to is, hey, there's a new Lifetime Body program just coming out today, and it's called Effortless Weight Loss.
It's called Effortless Weight Loss. Yes. And so what is it?
It's an easy, approachable, sustainable health program that, by the way, happens to help people optimize their body compositions along the way.
And what's the, I guess, what's this, the central thread or the foundation or the special sauce in this sustainable health program?
Well, it's based on science, and it's based on, you know, the most current research on hormonal optimization and the principles of metabolic reset and metabolic regulation. So in other words, we do these things with our foods and our movement and our lifestyle to optimize or balance our hormones, and everything else takes care of itself.
And John, I think that I'd like to just dig a little deeper on this one point here, because you've said something to me. I've employed these these principles and to great effect in my own life. And I think something that you said earlier, I've been making some notes as we've been talking about this, because you know you've mentioned words like character and noble and discipline in terms of like it's a choice for, you know, what the nutrition is. And what I think is interesting when you talk about this hormonal optimization and the metabolic regulation, something you said to me way back when was, you can't out-discipline your hormones. And so just from a man on the street perspective, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, maybe that'll, you can like tell all the audience that weren't there for that conversation what you mean by that, because hormonal optimization may not immediately land with someone who's just learning about it for the first time.
Sure. So first of all, you know, hormones are essentially signaling molecules that we produce in our bodies to, you know, maintain all of our metabolic functions. And there, you know, this is the field of endocrinology, and there are, you know, I think close to 60 known hormones in the body, and there's some neurotransmitters that sort of, you know, get lumped into that as well. And you don't have to know all of them, but some of the major ones that we're familiar with are insulin, cortisol, probably melatonin, and those are big drivers in our health and our function. And so what happens is everything we do in life, you know, how much we sleep or don't, what we eat, how much we move, it affects or drives or alters the level of hormones that we secrete. And some of them work in balance, some, you know, work more in opposition. Well, you know, when I say you can't out-discipline, or sometimes I use the term you can't out-willpower your hormones in the long term, sure, in the very short term, you can fight your instincts and not do something that your instincts are forcing you to do, but eventually they will win. And that's kind of where all this stuff comes from. If we do these unsustainable states of deprivation, it sets up a message, a strong message to the body, hey, slow down metabolism, store fat, you know, feel crappy. There's all, you know, literally these things are true. However, when we do those very simple triggers, eat these kinds of foods and get this amount of movement and get this kind of sleep and practice some gratitude, have some love, well, all of a sudden the hormones balance, and then the body automatically resets or auto-regulates, if you will, to health and to ideal body composition. It's just not that complicated.
Right. And I think that's where the effortless comes in. The effortless part of this is that you're talking about some really, I guess, specific modifications to how you live. But the effortless nature of this is happening inside the body on a cellular level, in addition to a program that's easily, you can incorporate into your everyday life. So on that, tell me a little bit more about, you know, what this is.
Yeah. So, you know, we have in health and wellness and performance out there, we have all these ways that you can do things. And most of those ways are good. It just depends on, well, what fits a person the best. So, you know, a few years back, I was writing a book about using all this tracking and measuring and, you know, self-manipulation to make some changes in my body composition, primarily more than health. And so I went down that route and used every kind of tracker and measurement that was available. And, you know, that was interesting. That's not my innate instinctive way to go about things. I tend to be a little bit more on the free-flowing side, but nonetheless, it was a good journey. I learned some things. Then I also, last year published that book, Project Jacked, which really is, it's the comprehensive version of, say, let's say a person really wants to I want to track calories and macros and sort of micromanage everything I'm doing. There's a place for programs like that, but this program is different. This is the one that's like, hey, give me the take-home messages, the nuts and bolts. What are the evidence-based things that work? And so it's inexpensive. It's non-invasive. It seamlessly fits into the lifestyle. And also, I try to do this with everything I'm doing, but it's infinitely modifiable and customizable to each person. I hate the idea, when you look at, say, some of the TV show models of, of weight loss, that there's one size fits all. No, there's as many sizes, there's your size. And that's what this effortless weight loss program is all about.
Absolutely. And so I think that, you know, if you just look at that TV show model, something that's intense and brief and irrational makes for a dramatic television show, but not for long-term sustainable gain. So, all right, let's do a quick overview of the program, which is available for a deeper dive. But what you've done is you've taken this program and you have it broken down into 10 evidence-based steps. And so let's just work through those. And we're going to do this almost like a cliffhanger for each. So talk a little bit about it, but leave the audience why they should, in this particular point, dive deeper.
Yeah, and I think I'll try to limit myself to a couple sentences on each one. So, you know, step number one, eat a planet-based diet. And that is just, you know, foods that are from the earth, that are natural, whole, nutritious, and they're not overly processed junk. You can get fancy, and start talking about, oh, what are my macros? And, you know, I like these kind of foods and organic, that and whatever. All that's fine. But if you don't eat garbage and you eat earthbound foods, you're most of the way there.
Absolutely. In the pursuit of effortless weight loss, what's next?
Yeah, and in health and longevity. So number two, after eating that planet-based diet, burn fat for fuel. Become metabolically fat adapted so that your body can access its stored body fat and use it for fuel all day long.
John, I don't want to linger here, but I think this is just such a fascinating point. We at the top, we said, all right, we're not talking about weight loss. We're actually talking about fat loss, right? And yeah, we want to preserve that muscle. And so the second component is really transforming the internal mechanism in your body. So you're burning that fat that you want to get rid of as fuel. It's one of the most ingenious ways that if you tell your body to do it, it's essentially like recycling, you know, making a wall out of, you can cut this out later if you want, but I don't know, making a wall out of tires that are just sitting in your yard. It's stuff that's there anyway that you could turn into fuel.
Yeah. And I'll come back with just a short comment there is that's where things get effortless, because if you unlock the metabolic secrets to accessing body fat for fuel, you burn your fat for fuel, you feel great, and it automatically brings down your body fat stores to ideal levels. So it's simple. We tell you how to do it in there.
Absolutely. What's number three?
Number three, dine richly. And so that's this whole idea that, hey, you know what? Food doesn't have to be this tactical, practical, perfunctory thing all the time. It's always been a tradition and a celebration and a ritual. And we want to keep that in our eating and sharing, and doing that actually puts us into, you know, kind of a relaxed state where we're under the influence of the parasympathetic nervous system. We're digesting better, and we're, you know, staying in a way that enables us to actually burn fat versus kind of high speed, rush eating, which is kind of related to stress eating. We don't do that. Instead, we give food the glory it deserves.
Absolutely. And I think that dovetails nicely with point number four, which is when to eat.
Yeah. And so the thing that's hot right now is all this circadian research, and, you know, humans are diurnal animals. We're tied to the sun. And so our digestion also works on kind of what's called a circadian clock. And so eating when the sky is light has been shown to be better for health and also better for weight loss in most cases.
I love it. What's number five?
Utilizing either terms that you like here, time-restricted feeding or intermittent fasting. So in other words, slightly compressing the total window in the day in which we consume our food. Again, very well supported by the research, and that helps with numbers of things, but that miniature extended fast of every day really improves a process known as autophagy, where our body cleans up cellular debris. And it's so valuable for health as well as for keeping us in fat burning mode.
Dynamite. Well, that's the first five. Let's take it home, starting with number six.
Okay. The way I phrase this one is sleep hard. And you know, the point here is that, you know, why don't we work as hard or seriously or intensely on getting our good sleep? And I think we've talked about this before, but it's not something that, you know, shouldn't be mentioned a lot. Well, we know that sleep is important for recovery and long-term health. But interestingly enough, sleep has a powerful impact on this hormonal balancing, and it can keep us in good sleep, can keep us in fat burning mode, whereas even one night of poor sleep can drive a person into a high stress situation, a sugar dependent metabolism, block fat burning, and increase fat storage. So sleep hard.
I love it. What's number seven?
So that's do the MMP, that's magic morning practice. And, you know, we'll keep it really brief here, but the data strongly supports a little outside light exposure, a little light aerobic movement in the morning tends to improve all sorts of metabolic factors. And when we follow that up with the mild hormetic stressor, getting your hormesis on of a 2-minute cold rinse in the shower, it's an accelerator to free fat burning.
Oh, you know, anyone who's a regular listener knows that we are fans of the hormesis. Okay. So what do we have? We're going to take it home with three more to go. What's number eight?
Number eight, I call move like a winner. And so this is where we look at a couple of things. First of all, you know that the lifetime body model of movement, first of all, movement's everything that happens when we're not stationary. Hello. But we break movement down into two things. We have activity or general daily activity, and that's, you know, our fidgeting, our chores, anything like that. And then we have exercise, which is our kind of like specific purposeful thing. We dress out and train for some fitness or health parameter. Well, in effortless weight loss, we really stick with the basics. So we look at, okay, what do the studies say on, you know, total amount of movement per day? And some of that's based on hunter-gatherer societies. And we know that we need to, you know, get some general movement through the day. It's not a ton, but it's important to do that. Also, we look at exercise and we go back to that magic morning practice and say, well, you know, there is a benefit to doing some kind of low, slow cardio mojo. And then that missing point is the high intensity and resistance exercise, which we use kind of a proprietary system that I've developed. It's called a MetRev or metabolic rever. So, you know, some of those other things keep the metabolism idling all day, and then occasionally we rev it with the MetRev. And it's a modifiable 2-minute resistance routine that you do 3 times per day. So moving like a winner, you know, kind of makes you a loser in weight.
Absolutely. And I think that the MetRev just if if for nothing more than to learn what this is, it's really like if your metabolism is a fire, the MetRev is stoking it. And so those embers are really burning brightly, and that fat, just like you said, is just getting torched. So what are our last two? What's number nine?
Number nine, get right with stress. So in other words, you know, stress is, you know, we all know what that is, but it's not necessarily evil. We need some of it to, you know, get out of bed in the morning and not live a kind of a boring, lifeless day. It's just in modern life, we tend to have a bit too much of it. It's either chronic or the high amounts are too frequent. And so stress is designed to be episodic. And, you know, that's, you know, when you could say either you're on the savannah and a thunderstorm's coming up and you've got to hustle to the cave, or you're around the fire and the saber tooth rolls in. You can get those are quick stresses. You deal with it and then you move on back. You come back to baseline quickly. So that's really what some of the tips in that chapter are all about, is just helping a person to recognize that that's how stress works, and that stress puts you into a sympathetic nervous system drive, a sugar-dependent metabolism. It causes strong cravings, and you can't out-willpower those cravings eventually. Whereas if you're in a calm parasympathetic state, you know, your body's just feeding that lamp of calmness a steady flow of body fat all day long.
Yes, and to kind of tie it all together, you have some some unexpected advice for someone or anyone sort of consuming this. What's the last one?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'd preface this, say, hey, you know, I'm no counselor, but, you know, I've been working with people in human performance for 35 years. So that allows me to say something. You know, I've worked with thousands of people trying to, you know, get results. And so one of the things I've noticed is that we need three components to make any program and relationship work. And that's that we need to communicate, collaborate, and love. And so really quickly, you know, communication is just that skill that we have when we convey things to others in non-judgmental ways. And so there's a way to do that that tends to help each of us to understand a message without becoming defensive or offended. Collaborate. There are ways that we can work together. And when you're in a weight loss program, it's good to feel supported by others, and there are ways to create that teamwork. And then ultimately, you know, we get to love, you know, love what you do, love who you're with, love the circumstances that you're in, you know, trying to do that. Well, interesting, this all comes back together because those positive interactions and emotions have a strong hormonal component. They will tend to drive up things like serotonin and oxytocin, among others, and minimize our most popular stress hormone, cortisol. And so ultimately, having this positive environment and relationships and interactions takes the brakes off of our weight loss attempts and just removes blockades and barriers.
Absolutely. All right, John Boy. So we've got some folks maybe that are sitting out there saying, okay, you know, this is, you piqued my interest. You know, what are the nuts and bolts of effortless weight loss? How do the folks out there find it? And more importantly, put it into play. How do they use it?
Yeah, so this is really quick and really simple. It's another lifetime body program. So these are how-to guides to, you know, help you kick ass at life. And it's in ebook format. It's rich with informative text, and each concept is also supported in video format. And that's kind of this whole, you know, platform that we're using, trying to relate to how everyone likes to learn and absorb information. And it's kind of simple, clear, easily navigable, which I think is, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, reading a 400 page book and one can do that. But this is kind of the other way around. It's like, it will show me, you know, just give me the facts, please. And so that's what this is. And you can access it today. The premiere, go to thelifetimebody.com in the upper left corner on the menu, click on programs, and you can download your copy today.
Absolutely. And I think, John, if I had to, excuse me, summarize, it's so many of the different concepts that we've discussed, as you know, over the, you know, two thirds of a year as we've launched the podcast, that you've been writing about, that you in your long career have been talking about, are available. So a lot of this people have been exposed to through, you know, through your work, but it's all packaged together for the goal of effortless weight loss. So it is a very accessible read. I've read through it, and I encourage anyone who's, you know, if that's one of your goals, check it out. And I think, John, kind of, you know, not transitioning, but let's kind of like bring it all together. Let's sum it all up. You know, why now? Why a weight loss program now? And this is a question to you. And how does it fit under the bigger TLB approach, model, philosophy?
Yeah. So, you know, what we're all about is peak performance in life and sustaining that through a long lifespan without any detriments to health. So that's kind of where we're all about. Well, it turns out that many folks can't obtain their best performances until they get their health and particularly their body composition, into a desirable range. It doesn't have to be super low, but just in a desirable range. And so, you know, this weight loss, you know, it's coming in, you know, again, over, 35 years, going on 36. It's in a tie for the most popular client request, along with training for peak performance and personal success. So that's really, you know, why I want to address it. And also, it's really important. This is a concept I use all the time, and folks struggle with it because, again, of brainwashing. But we need to avoid what I call metabolic multitasking. In other words, if you're trying to, at the very same time, lose weight, increase your strength, your muscle mass, improve your aerobic fitness, learn a complex motor skill, the durable human body is probably going to say, "I'll give you a little bit of each." But if you only focus on one thing, it'll give you a lot more. And so that's why I say avoid metabolic multitasking. Get the weight off first, easily, shall we say effortlessly, and then you can progress to training.
I love how you said that. That's it's absolutely been, I've made that mistake many times in my life, just add it to the giant bucket labeled as mistakes of trying to work for performance when my body comp wasn't optimal. So let's say that someone knows they want to work on, or now having heard this, they say, "I want to start with body comp, but actually I do have a performance goal in the future." How does this program work with the other programs in the TLB umbrella?
Yeah. So this is designed, effortless weight loss is designed to fit into a sequence where, you know, body comp can be optimized. And, you know, again, everyone's going to be different. But, you know, if weight loss was a forever thing, we'd all be incredibly shrinking humans and then we'd disappear. So, no, if you do it right, weight loss literally for most people takes months, not even years. And so, this allows you to get that addressed. And then your leaner, healthier body will then absorb more training and achieve more fitness and performance and be comfortable and have less chance for breakdown anyway. So this is a proper order that should be done. So when a person accomplishes their effortless weight loss, then they can move on to the Animal Fit program, where they can really learn deeply about, who am I as an exerciser? What's my body type? What's my spirit animal, if you will? And then there's some secrets in there, how to design your own training to unleash your inner beast and unlock your full fitness or athletic potential. So that's kind of how these programs fit together. And then I also would say, okay, there's coaching. You know, some people do really need some coaching, and I don't like to do that forever. I like to do it on, short and intermediate term basis. But that really is what we're all about, is just, you know, kicking ass really involves going through that sequence.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, if I had to, I guess, offer my final closing thoughts, is that reading through this, it really does make it clear, and it makes it easy for the layman to kind of understand the concepts. And that's something you've done deliberately because you didn't want it to be so complicated, right?
Yeah. And this crap, I think there's just too much crap out there in this world. And so, hey, everybody, put that stuff in your rear view mirror. And, you know, when you think about what they've been doing to you and you know who they are, because we've already talked about it, why don't you gather speed from them effing with you? How about that?
I like it. Well, as we get close to wrapping up, we have a review of the week.
Yeah, and this one is somewhat humorous because last week I received an awesome email from an incredibly astute individual. It really expressed support for our mission here at the Lifetime Body Podcast, and particularly this new passion that you're feeling. However, it was so passionate and expletive rich that I can't read it here. So, but to that listener, I say, hey, you know who you are and we love you. Thank you.
You can't even give. So that is a top secret shout out. That is the very rare top secret review of the week. And so to all the listeners out there, thank you. We appreciate you tuning in. Rate, review, if you like what you're hearing, it really helps us out, move up and share these messages with more people. So if you are so inclined, we would love to hear from you out there on whatever podcast listening device you use.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys. Adios.
Adios.
Thank you for joining us on the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we kick ass for life through the attainment of ultimate wellness and the pursuit of peak performance and maximum longevity. If you are enjoying this content, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show and share it with your friends and family. Also, check out thelifetimebody.com, where you can access a variety of publications and media that can help you achieve the highest levels of health, fitness, success, and happiness. And be sure to subscribe to the weekly Kick-Ass for Life update, which keeps you real-time on the latest releases from TLB. Until next time. This is the Lifetime Body, where science meets common sense and where we help you kick ass for life.